We'll continue now with the thoughts of the great Puritan teacher John Owen on the promise of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I just want to say there are some teachers like John Owen, and I would say today John Piper, that are so encouraging because they are able to open our eyes to see new things in verses that we have known for a long time. That's what is especially inspiring about men like John Piper today and the great 17th century teacher John Owen. They will make verses that are so familiar to us that we kind of yawn at them sometimes, to see them with fresh eyes and to see the power in them and to just look at them in a refreshing new way and to inspire belief in them. And a teacher who can do that is a great blessing to the church. Now, we saw that this great promise that was given to Joshua in the Old Testament, "I will never leave you or forsake you," God says, also applies to us. And on the basis of that great promise, the author to the Epistle to the Hebrews says in the 6th verse, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me?" This is a wonderful promise. Now, he could have just stated it himself without quoting the Old Testament. And I believe he does that because he's wanting to show us that the God, the living God who worked in the lives of those believers, is the same today. As it says in the 8th verse, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And he's wanting to show this great continuity. And Romans 15 verse 4 is a great summation of that, where it says that everything that has been written beforehand is written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement that we get from the Scriptures, we may have hope. So everything that's written beforehand is for us. God continues to speak to us as he did to believers in the past. And all of his promises proceed from his love and grace. And though our circumstances may differ greatly from the ones to whom the promises were first given, the love and grace that they're grounded on is the same. And God's love for us and grace and the way he will work in our lives on the basis of those promises is the same. Faith sets every believer in the place of the one to whom the promises were first made. And it is on the basis of that that he says, God says to us in verse 5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." That's not just, he's not just speaking that to Joshua, but it is to us as well. And on the basis of believing that, he says, we can confidently say, just as the psalmist did in Psalm 118, so many centuries after the promise was first given to Joshua, we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" The force of his argument is that if God has said to us what he said to Joshua, we indeed have a sufficient ground and sufficient reasons, a solid reasons, to cast away all of the inordinate desires for worldly things that he talked about in the verses before. In verse 5, he started this by saying, "Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." So the force of his argument, if God has said that to us today individually, just as he said it to Joshua, we have solid ground and warrant to cast away all of the inordinate desires for earthly things that the world just runs after. We have sufficient reason to cast out all fears of want. because we're resting in the fact that God is going to work for us and he will provide all that we need. Now, in the Psalms, David spoke this promise or these words in great confidence, even in the midst of great troubles. And it was on the foundation of the very same promise of God's presence and help. And let's look at Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6. Whether this particular psalm was written by David or not really doesn't matter. The psalmist says, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" If the Lord is present and on my side and will act on my behalf, what do I have to fear from man? What David says in Psalm 56, verses 1 and 4, is very similar to that and echoes the same thought. In Psalm 56, David says, and it says that he wrote this psalm when he was in a time of great troubles, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And he prays to God and he says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." So this is a time of great trouble and distress for him. And yet look at how confidently he states his faith in God. In verse 3, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" When he realizes that God is with him, no matter how great the problem is or how great the opponents, he says, "I will not be afraid." What a tremendous expression of confidence. And look at his great Psalm 23 that we all know. In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So here's a great statement that God is the one who will lead us and protect us and guide us and give us all that we need. He'll lead us to quiet pastures, to the quiet waters, and to times of refreshing and blessing. But the Christian life isn't always that way. And so he says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So he says, sometimes I'm not in the green pastures or beside the quiet waters. Sometimes God will bring us into the valley of the shadow of death. Now, death is the greatest of all evils, and in Scripture it is comprehensive of all evils that can come upon us. And the idea of the shadow of death is the approach of death or the approach of great troubles. It's the apprehension that we're going have to go through great terrible times. And then he expresses it as the valley of the shadow of death. The valley is the depths, the worst conditions you can imagine. So he's expressing the thought that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the most terrible afflictions or troubles or terrors that you could imagine, and it is not just of short duration. The fact that he says, "I have to walk through this," means that this could take a long time. I might be in this valley a long time. And yet he says, "I will fear no evil." He doesn't say that he won't fear different hard things happening to him, but he will fear no evil. That's what can really harm us. Now that's a great statement of confidence. And on what basis can he say that? On what basis can we, in the midst of whatever troubles God might bring into our lives, we can make the statement, I will fear no evil, I will trust in him. On what basis? And he states it right at the end of verse 4 when he says, for you are with me. It is the presence of God with him that gives him this great confidence. And on the basis of these promises, because God speaks them to us and they are recorded in Scripture for us, we can have the same confidence because we have the same faith built on the same promises. And this kind of confidence honors God. This is what brings him glory. And he requires this of us. He wants us to have this kind of faith and this kind of confidence. And it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff of the shepherd, they would guide and lead the sheep by that. So that is an expression of our sense of the presence of God by faith. And it's so when we are no longer in the quiet pastures or in the green pastures and not by the still waters, even when we're in the most difficult circumstances, the presence of God can give us this great confidence, and this will honor God greatly. It says, the next verse, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. These are expressions of God providing us all that we need. And notice, it is in the presence of our enemies. It's not just when we're in the green pastures and quiet waters, but it's when we have a lot of enemies coming around us. He still prepares all that we need. And then his conclusion is in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what's going to follow him all the days of his life, whether he's in quiet pastures beside still waters or having to walk a long time through the valley of the shadow of death, he is assured that goodness and mercy will follow him. Now, that promise is for us as well. Think of that promise. Think of what God is saying to us here. This is really breathtaking, that whatever he brings us into, we need not fear any evil. Goodness and mercy will follow us, no matter what he leads us into. Let's look at Paul's expression of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here Paul is in prison, and he doesn't know if he's going to be martyred or not. And in 2 Timothy 4:16 he says, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. God was present with him and gave him the strength that he needed, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Seems that he possibly could have been martyred right at that point. And he says that the presence of God was with him and strengthened him when all else deserted him. When every other support fails us, God will not. And he says he was delivered from the lion's mouth. Then he concludes, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. It doesn't mean that God will always rescue him from hardships. And indeed, he was martyred. But what he knows, what is most important and is the only thing that can really hurt us, is evil. And he says, God is going to rescue me from every evil deed, even if he doesn't rescue me from the hand of the Romans and I'm killed. That will just bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. And so he is assured that God will be with him and provide all that he needs in every situation. Psalm 125 is another wonderful statement of this. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. And that's the mount, the central mountain in Jerusalem, on which the Jerusalem is built, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Now here the author of this psalm is looking at Mount Zion, and he's saying those who trust in the Lord are like that mountain. And they're not going to be moved. Because God is with them, they abide forever. So this is a tremendous statement of security in trust and faith in the Lord. Now the next verse talks about mountains as well. But look what he says here. He switches the metaphor. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, and that would be the other mountains that are around Mount Zion, it says, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Believers are like a stable mountain that cannot be moved. Why? Because the Lord, the presence of God, is all around them to protect them from every direction, from anything that might happen. One of the most effective means to encourage our hearts in the midst of troubles is to compare the power of God who is with us to help us with the power of people to hurt us. And God's infinite power is pledged to our defense to protect us from what can really hurt us, which is sin. Faith that is fixed on God's power to meet our every need will free us from the fear of what people can do to us. And what can people do to us? Well, they can do a lot of things. But if we're trusting in the Lord, for God's people, they cannot really hurt us. Now, back in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, Paul, or the author, had started this by saying, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with the material things you have, because God won't leave you. So you can be confident, the Lord is your helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, in chapter 10, in verse 34, it states what man can do to them. And this is why he had talked about loving the world's riches. In verse 34, he's talking about the persecution that these Christians had gone through. And here it says, for you had compassion on those in prison. Some of them have been put in prison. And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew you had for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. What had happened to them was man had plundered their property. Now, there's nothing more serious than that. In times of persecution, men can take from us our property. But even in a situation like that, God says, do not fear. I am with you. I will provide all that you need. And so these Christians, it says here, had joyfully accepted this, because they were believing the promises that it was only evil that can hurt them, and God would protect them, and they knew that their great eternal inheritance could never be touched, and God was going to safely bring them through everything into the eternal kingdom. Imagine losing, having your property stolen from you, and yet still being able to accept that joyfully on the basis of God's promises to be with us, to help us, and to protect us. So this great promise is for us, that God will never leave us and forsake us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But also we see we have a pattern here that we can apply to all of the other promises in the Bible, that they are indeed spoken directly to us, and that we have a promise that God himself will never leave or forsake us, and he will not let us forsake him. His power is going to protect us, and he will bring us safely into his eternal kingdom, so that whatever hardships might occur, he will keep us from real evil hurting us. And so let us have the same confidence that Joshua had, the same confidence that David showed, the same confidence that we are required, and God commands us to have in these verses, or exhorts us to have, that is built on the same faith. Thank you.